In this talk, we do have satellite data, so let's see if that makes sense. First, I would like to acknowledge the co-authors, project collaborators, and PIs. Tom Trout, who is also with ARS, now is in Fort Collins, Colorado. Also have Lee Johnson with NASA Ames Lab, not far from where I'm located, which is in Parlier, outside Fresno. And Jim Garton, who works in my lab, helped doing all the field collection and data collection from the field sites. And the project is partially supported by a grant from California Department of Water Resources, so acronym is DWR. So the goal in this work, as you can see, is to, we are trying to use satellite imagery as a way of gathering additional information on a more timely basis to supplement ground-based micromet information to be able to predict possibly ET, actual ET from different cropping systems in California. As you can see from this map, California is also a big ag state, and majority of the agriculture activities occur in the Central Valley, and there's some on the coastal regions, but mostly in this area. Fairly large, and it's almost all irrigated. So water is the very critical. There's no water, there's probably no agriculture at all. In one county alone, where I'm located right now in Fresno County, it's the annual agriculture-related output is close to about $5 billion and covers something like more than 30 different cropping systems. So it's fairly diverse as well. The objective for this particular project, again, is to creating a supporting system, as a tool, approach, so we can relate to our crop water use on a somewhat of a timely basis during the season. And in California, the season is 12 months, 365 days, so it's fairly demanding in terms of how water can be diverted to different places and be able to utilize by the growers. So that's mostly this tool or findings we're going to generate is going to be useful for the, we call water suppliers, and that can be different water districts or state agencies, and who also has a different ways of deciding or helping to divert where the water will go and who is needing what and how much. But the end user is actually the producers, the growers, and you know, of different crops, which submit their needs and requests for water at different times and different quantities. So hopefully that's what we're trying to achieve. But it's a very daunting task, as you can relate to. The approach we took is relatively simple. It's somewhat still based on the energy balance approach. But in this particular project, since we are going to be dealing with a fairly large area, So we may put that into a three simple steps. Step one is basically using satellite-derived NDVI values. Use that to relate to the crop canopy cover for a given time and given location. And we're going to have some field data to validate how this relationship will hold. So we're going to try to create a fairly simple linear relationship, see how that will work. And step two would be to relate these canopy cover or the changes in canopy sizes over the time and different places to crop coefficients. If you all remember the crop coefficients, this KC is basically the ratio of the actual crop water use divided by the potential ET for over a well-watered grass surface. And so that's basically inversing that in step three is to actually estimate the water needs or evaporation for a particular location and given time using this KC value estimated through these satellite-based imageries and also the somewhat of a ground-based potential ET values, most likely from weather stations and networks in that region or particular area. And different states, places has different networks. In California, there's called a Siemens system. Some of you may familiar is California Irrigation Management System, so it has weather station networks spread out throughout the whole state. Again, these parameters in these different equations, basically somewhat of empirical fitted numbers, and you'll see how those hold together. Here's one of the imageries we have used, and I'll just show you. And we used the Landsat 5 imageries in this case, and the location we selected is just a little bit south west of Fresno in this square area. It's about 27 by 35 kilometers. That's one scene. And here's Fresno. Here's I-5. San Francisco will be over here. LA will be down there. Again, the overpass is basically every 16 days for Landsat, as you all know. So on those days, Landsat overpass days, we made field trips into those areas. We selected five large farming operations, and each big farm has multiple cropping species. So in this case, we measured 20 different row crops, tree crops, and vine crops. So row crops, we have some vegetables like lettuce and peppers and a number of, you know, even some of the alfalfa and some other crops. And for tree crops, we have almonds and we have pistachio and a whole number of different tree species. And for vines, it's mostly in this area, that's we call the west side of San Joaquin Valley. Vines, usually vine grapes rather than table grapes are reason. So mostly vine grapes in that area. So altogether, roughly about 20, exactly 20 different crops. And over in those, it's kind of hard to see in the back. Probably this is one of the farming operations, and here's another. So there's different clusters. We select in some of the field sites so we can zoom into a particular crop and be able to use that as a ground reference. The measurements was occurred in 2008, starting from April through the, you know, towards middle and end of October. So we have those time. And in this particular slide, I'm just illustrating the change of NDVI values within that scene over this time period from beginning of April, start to crop, some crops start to green out, and to June to August, and start to disappear towards October. As you can see, it's kind of towards the end of it. Some stay green because there's some perennials and other land areas. And NDVI values in these pictures, gradation illustrates their range. The ground measurements we were doing is to actually quantify the canopy cover using a camera, a tetracam, that's the infrared and visible and some other bands. So we were selecting those field sites, as I said, within the satellite imagery area during the overpass dates, times, and we build a frame so that we can, you know, moving the frame across the row. In this case, it's some fairly young grapes. This picture illustrates. And then after we capture the imageries, we can go back in the lab and process the unit area, say from center row to center row, what's the actual total area is under a canopy, crop canopy, and what's the bare soil. So we can do those kind of assessments. And these are carried out over all the different farms during those satellite overpass days. And this is one of the results we have, is illustrating the correlation between the total ground canopy cover from bare soil to 100%. And then on the y-axis is showing the Landsat NDVI calculations. As you can see, it's not perfect, but it's fairly linear. And by fitting just a simple linear line, we can derive correlation. These data from all these measurements from April all the way through October and covering all the different cropping species. So it's fairly conservative in a way. So it's fairly robust. And using that relationship, basically we can go back to the initial NDVI imagery and make corrections calculations for every pixel over that satellite scene. And here is converted, we call fraction of canopy cover or ground cover is going from less than 10% to exceeding 70% over over those land areas. So fairly straightforward process. And the next difficult part is to actually getting the crop coefficient to be really reasonable, make sense. And to do that, in this case, we're using wind lasimeters. We have a station right located in that area, in the satellite overpass area. And this picture is depicting one experiment we did actually prior to 2008. This was done earlier. And in this case, it's a pepper crop. And we also have lettuce and several other crops being conducted using the wind lasimeters. And what we are able to do with these is to actually compute the actual crop coefficient values. So it's much more a direct way of measuring that. And when we are doing the crop coefficient estimate, we were also measuring the canopy cover, since this is part of the field experiment. So we have both information derived from this. And so far, we have only those crops that we already measured on these lasimeters. So that data is still building. And also, we are also using some literature information to add into other cropping species. But the goal, again, is to create this correlation between a canopy cover to a crop coefficient, so we can go to the next step, which is basically creating an aerial map of these basal crop coefficient values, and then superimpose this, basically multiply that with the potential ET, which is generated based on the energy balance using the weather station networks. Then we are able to produce a mapping of the likely the crop ET, crop ET, so actual water use values. And in this case, as you can see, it's some from less than 2 millimeters per day for some of the very dry areas to some of the crops that's exceeding 5 millimeters. So one of the advantages by doing this is that the existing crop coefficient from the FAO 60 books, maybe only 2 or 3 values for the whole season. In this case, we can have this every 16 days. So give a much more a finer resolution in terms of toning the actual water use rather than just using 2 or 3 numbers. So that's really going to help out tremendously. And there's still a lot of work need to be done, but I think we are moving in the right direction. A quick summary. So the approach, again, this backdrop is a satellite imagery of San Joaquin Valley and showing the southern tip of it. Anyway, the approach, as you can see, we took is using NDVI values from a satellite measurements and deriving these ground canopy cover using those correlations, the ground measurements we made. And the KC is mostly based on wind lasimeter data and some literature data. The eventual product will be estimating the actual ET requirements for whatever the frequency we can get from the satellite imagery. It's a relatively indirect approach in a way, but it's still based on potential ET estimates. So, and it's somewhat simpler, you may say. And there's options for satellite imageries. We are using Landsat 5. There may be other platforms we can tap into. It's some of the finer spatial resolution imageries from Digital Globe or from other different satellites, but or even aerial. But the temporal frequency will be a limitation. Modus will be an option, but you gotta have trade-offs, temporal and spatial. Another limitation with this approach is that there's the model regulations of the different crops, which is it's kind of embedded in this, but how to write that into consideration towards different parts of the season or if they're under some stress, that may not be fine enough. The approach may not be detailed enough to pick that up, but we may be able to pursue that later in some other approaches. So if you have some ideas, maybe we can add it into this this work. So. With that, thank you very much.
Questions for Dong?
Yeah, Ivo, you have two steps of linear regression between NDVI to crop coefficient. Why? What's the advantage to directly go to NDVI to crop coefficient than like two steps? Do you have any advantages or?
Yeah, why not go directly? Well, first of all, the canopy cover, you think about it, it's highly different, depends on the, you know, different crops and different things, different phenology, I guess. And if you're doing directly from the NDVI to ET, that may be another way to do this, but I think it's in this case, one of the large, from based on our work, we have done quite a bit of measurements from the canopy cover to the NDVI, but the ET to ground cover part is based on those data we measured from the wavelength emitter, so it's still limited. And that part, we still have much more larger uncertainties, and there may be to the point we can, from mathematically, you can put the two together if you know both relationships fairly well, but I don't think we are there yet. We don't feel confident to do that yet. So that's, I don't know if I answer your question. That's where we are, yeah.
Is the relationships between KC and canopy cover always consistent across different crops?
We, in this case, the graph I showed has pepper and lettuce, I think. We also did some other wine crops and row crops. They are fairly tight, but the slopes are nearly the same, but the intercept are not always the same. Some are a little higher than lower. So that's why I'm saying that is, you're right, how to fine tune those will be additional work we'll be pursuing. Very good comments.
Do you have any comparisons with some other methods?
Comparison with other methods? Not at this stage. I mean, yeah, it's a good point that using what can be predicted, using that imagery, different pixels, and how that compare with ground-based measurements, that would be, we haven't done that yet. No, we don't have that at the moment, but that would be, very important to do. Totally agree.
Is NDVI better at predicting percent ground cover as opposed to leaf area index?
Probably. You think about leaf area index can keep going up and up, I guess. NDVI, it's going to taper off, it's, right? And so if you look at ground cover, NDVI may be a better option than LAI, I would think.
LAI
could be.
That would be a better predictor of ET, but I may be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, LAI may be a better predictor for ET in a way, since you got more leaves, different layers, so however you look at that. Very good question.
How often do you evaporate soil?
Very good point. We hope that the canopy cover by the ground, some can take care of some of that, but again, we are not accounting for that evaporation, which may be okay for most drip. If you have drip irrigation, you have some of the pressurized. Then there's soil surface very dry. It's almost always dry, except if you're actually doing the irrigation right after irrigation, some places may have losses through the bare soil, but that's not in there yet. It's not in the system right now.
Thank you.